Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue 2 Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we're looking back on last week's loss at Alloa, preview this weekend's home clash with Falkirk, and there's some good news and bad news on the Ryan Duncan front. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as always is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Good evening. Yeah, I'm not too bad, thanks. Yourself?
I'm not too bad. We're officially in spring. Spring has sprung. Lighter nights, I think we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, but the weather seems to be still as chilly as it was.
In the northeast, you tend to find that although spring comes in around, you don't quite get the heat just yet. But no, as you said, it's fine to see the lighter nights in again.
Aye, it's fine. Good to see folk out and about as well, walking their dogs and things like that as well. So, actually thought about cutting my grass at weekend as well, maybe a bit early for that.
Oh, I die. April's the cut off.
I'll wait till I'm on holiday. Let's get started then. I'm going to start. I will apologise right for the kick off because I think we jokingly said at the weekend that we're starting to kind of run out of ways to kind of say the same things. Yeah. So I apologise to everybody that's been listening over the last few weeks. It will sound pretty much the same as last week and the week before, but that's just the run we're in, and that's how things are going.
Yeah, unfortunately we are dictated by the results and performances that are on the pitch. It's unfortunate the run we're in, that we just seem to be repeating ourselves, but the performance on Saturday I didn't think was too bad, but again we've come away with no points.
Yeah, so it was the second 1-0 loss in a row. It's a fourth defeat in a row. Maybe clutching at straws slightly, saying that look, maybe we wasn't on our side, and so we kind of hit the post and things like that. But there's just, I'm saying clutching at straws, that's just the run we're in, and as things aren't happening for us.
Yeah, I think the positive for Saturday was that although we didn't score, I think we did have a couple of half decent chances. I think there was McLean, there was Ryan Duncan as well. So, performances of late have been not great, but I did think on Saturday, you're just needing that little bit of lady luck shining on your side, and we could have gotten signed for the game, and you're just needing something to go our way to, just ease that relegation fear that's maybe lingering over the players and the club. Just unfortunate, like I said, that we didn't get that.
Yeah, Andy McCarthy was suspended, and I think he was a big loss, and I think we'll come onto that later on. Nia Payne was also dropped to the bench, and Owen Cairns came in, Ryan Duncan started as well, I think what we said last week as well. And Jason Brown was back in again, and Flynn Duffy also dropped to the bench. So it was back to that 5-3-2 that he seems to be liking it at the moment. Natural right footer playing at right wing back, Rico Cotombo at left wing back, and it was interesting as the game was kind of progressing that Jason Brown was the right centre back, whereas previously when David Wilson was playing, Jason was the centre. So maybe that's a preference on Jim, that he prefers Sean Want to be in the middle and Jason to the right. I just found that was an interesting change, whereas I think Jason, for me, would be better in the centre.
I actually thought it was a good decision. I thought with Owen Cairns coming in at right back, I thought with Jason being there, he could just try and help him through the game. I thought the communication, because they've played before, but also I just felt that sometimes Owen's just gets caught under the ball a wee bit, especially with diagonal balls or balls over the top. So I thought with Jason being almost alongside him, it could help him through the game. And I think that's good for Jason as well, for his development. It was good to see, as you said, a right natural right footer at right back, Jason coming in, and obviously you had Rico at left. But I thought there was a better balance to the team on Saturday.
And although we could sort of say 5-3-2, I think for large spells, Ryan Duncan maybe wasn't it side by side with Rusty, and they have played that combination before, so it's almost like a 5-3-1-1 if you like. Ryan maybe just slightly behind, but it's a combination that we haven't seen too often. We have seen it maybe once or twice in the season. If you're going to play that two, for me again, I would have preferred maybe Nia to be up there with him, because he's obviously a bit more natural. Ryan's maybe a bit more winger, but again, maybe that's a position that Jim maybe feels that he can develop Ryan into?
I think Ryan, you know, in my opinion, he's better suited being out wide. I think if you are going to put, you know, almost two up top, then to me, you've got to go with Nia Payne and Russell McLean, or even having Hamish Richards just behind Russell McLean. I think their link-up play is good, but I've said it for a number of weeks now, I think Russell McLean plays better when he's got someone up with him, because I think we're too easy to play against when you've just got Russell McLean up top and you've got your two wide players. I think it's okay having the width in the team, but then if you've got only one focal point person up front, then you sort of limit your chances quite a bit. So it was good to see Ryan back in and playing again, but I just feel that he is better suited out wide and maybe having two up top.
And one thing that we have covered a few times is the slow starts. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago how many goals we've conceded in that sort of first 10-15 minutes. And Alloa, inside that first 10 minutes, had a couple of half chances. Maybe, I think half chances is probably as best as you could probably describe it as being. But again, it's another warning that going into games like this, from the very first whistle, we've got to be sharp, we've got to be concentrating.
Yeah, I think there was one particular, was it Stephen Boyd for the corner. If he was a wee bit more accurate, that could have troubled us. But again, as you said, half chances, nothing more than that. Ones that you'd expect the team to really deal with. It could have been troublesome had we conceded early on, but thankfully we managed to navigate it. And I think that's something. You're right, he was trying to look for positives in game. I think that could be a positive to take from it. Okay, Alloa isn't exactly firing all cylinders, but again, you've gotten through that as we try and break it in the 15-20 minute, you know, periods within the game. You've managed to navigate your way through it, so it gave us something to build on.
Conor Salmon had probably the best chance up until then. I don't know how he's managed it, because the cross has come in, he's mishit his header, and then fortunately it lands at his feet, and then he mishits his shot. It goes by Brett Long in goals, but Andy McDonald's there to clear it off the line. So you're looking for bits of fortune, as you were saying, and that one falling to Conor Salmon, maybe falling to another player, it might have been a goal.
Was that the fortune bit falling to Conor Salmon? I don't know how he's quite managed it, but again, looking at the positive effect, McDonald, he's coming for a lot of that criticism recently, not just by us, but by a few others as well. And, you know, he's been quick to realise the danger that if it does get past Brett Long, that there's, you know, a serious chance of a goal for them. He's gotten back on the line. He's managed to get his feet sorted, get his body in the way, and managed to turn it away. So, you know, credit to him for that. He got back on the line and managed to defend it.
It's the kind of thing you would do in a friendly or an exhibition. You'd get a cross like that and then try and flick it up for yourself and then try and hit it. But he completely misjudged both aspects of it. Optimistic shouts for a penalty, Savory going down early on in the box. I think, again, yeah. Maybe there was optimistic as being really generous.
Yeah. Very, very soft, if I mean. Yeah, Nathan, if we called out Russell McLean for it a couple of weeks back, didn't like to see it. I think, Grant, yeah, there's a slight bit of contact, but there's, yeah, to me, he's very far. It's never a penalty, and he's maybe lucky. Some referees might have actually given a book in there. So, yeah, fortunate was Grant.
Grant's maybe going to have to start watching himself slightly, because he was booked at Falkirk, if you remember, yeah. for a dive there. And it was one that he obviously he went down on and took the booking, because I think he knew it was a dive. So these kind of, I'm not saying he is one of that kind of players, but he just needs to watch himself. He's not going to start getting himself a reputation, and one that is blatantly a penalty, he's not going to get because of his previous misdemeanors.
Yeah, I mean, referees will they do their research before games as well. They'll pinpoint players that are maybe likely to cause him problems in a game, and Grant has been booked a couple of times now. He didn't get one on Saturday, but you didn't want him to be associated with that sort of thing, as you said rightly, that there could be a stonewall penalty in the last game of the season, and he might not get given because his reputation precedes him. So just something to be mindful of.
When you say referees do the research, you obviously know the rules, because
based on some of the performances we've seen this season, evidently not.
As you said, we kind of seen out that early pressure and we got by that initial sort of 15-20 minute spell. And then we managed to produce a couple of saves from the Alba keeper, Morrison, in goals. Savory had one from range, it was tipped over. I think you mentioned it as well. McLean's one, probably the better of the two chances. Probably one as well that McLean will probably look at and think he should have done better. And I think by his reaction as well after it, would suggest that he probably thinks it was a big chance.
Yeah, I think Rusty came to that himself. Yeah, it's currently, you'd expect him to be slightly better. Hasn't quite worked too from, just didn't get quite his feet sorted. But one of them that I'm sure from Russell Lewis Blackman will be disappointed personally that he hasn't found at least a target and got a save.
We mentioned the sort of the negative side of Savory's play, but it was his ball in and he was finding a lot of pockets of space like that. And I don't know, much that we know, sort of looked at Conor Salmon mishitting his one and belittling him. So I think McLean's maybe mishit his slightly as well, and it's made it for an easier save, shall we say, but credit to the keeper, he still palmed it away.
I think it was the wind that didn't help McLean, was it? Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah, as much as we're joking about Salmon, Russell will be disappointing, but that's the positive side of the Grant Savory, that's what he's capable of, especially when he first came in. We identified that he's a player that could unlock defences, he's willing to travel the ball, and then again, it was his pass in, which, that's a positive side, needs to see more of that from Grant, and, let the strikers feed off it.
So unfortunately, we do go behind on 57. We didn't go behind in 57. Henderson does have a shot which almost goes in off the rebound. He saves it. Brett Long saves it. It bounces off of Scott Brown. And again, back to that whole thing about luck. On another day, that might have bounced off of Scott Brown and gone in, and would have been belittling our luck. But maybe we're riding our luck just a little bit with things like that.
Yeah, really good shot, good save by Brett, did really well to get to it. And as you said, where luck was maybe slightly changing, like the way it's been going the last couple of months, that could have easily taken a deflection and gone in the back of the net. It's a good save by Brett, and we've managed to clear it, but again, yeah, as you said, just maybe riding our luck a little bit at that point in the game.
And luckily, just a minute later, up at the other end, Ryan Duncan hits the post. So as I said, we've rode our luck at one end, and our luck's gone against us at the other, hitting the inside of the post. It was a terrific effort for him for about 22 yards out, something like that. But it goes back to what we were saying a couple of weeks ago about taking these efforts on, being confident, and looking to score from range, which is something we haven't done very often.
I think the only thing that Ryan hasn't done there is score. He's done everything right. He's kept it low. He's kept it hard. He's, he's hit the inside the post. And another day that goes in the back of the net. If luck's on your side, wasn't it to be? But again, it goes back to what we were saying, that if you're not going to take a shot, you're not going to score, and it's really unfortunate.
And this was kind of all within sort of a five minute period in the game, where it just seemed to go back and forth, one end to the other. Conor Salmon had tested Long from range as well. He took a shot. It was a fairly comfortable save from Brett, who made it look much easier than it probably was. And then Boyd as well, he had one from range as well. So it was a game that was quite open at that point.
I think both managers realised the importance of the win. I think Brian Rice realised that if they got the win, that was then you'd almost safe for relegation. I think the same for Jim. He realised the importance, if he could get a win, it brings all our right back into a bit of a problem and just extends your lead over the teams below. So I thought it was good that both managers were, it appeared to be that Nina and them were quite happy to sit in the fence for a draw, obviously they wanted to accept defeat, but they were willing to go and try and win the game.
Stephen Boyd, I thought he had a particularly good game, and just get your thoughts on him, because obviously we've seen him here for 18 months, okay, vast majority of that was under COVID, and the restrictions that placed, but I think we've seen enough of Stephen Boyd while he was here to believe that there was a good player there, but we just didn't see enough of it. And he's gone to Alloa, he's there this season, he's played 36 games for them and he's scored 8 goals, but in his time here he only scored 4 and 30, and I think 2 of those was in the same game.
Yeah,
in the cup. So it just shows you maybe just a slight change of environment, slight change of kind of coaching or management or whatever. But he certainly seems to be enjoying his fit with Mayor at Alloa than he was previously up here.
Yeah, I think when he was here, it was certainly kind of was a player there. I think at times he flattered to deceive. I think he would have a really good game and then go quiet for a couple of games. I'm not sure whether he was always played in his most favourite position when he was here. I think at times he was sort of shoved out wide and sort of almost helped to stick in the byline to give us width. They sure that's, that to me is not his game. But yeah, he's gone to Alloa, he's done well. And like you said, I think there is a player there. It was just unfortunate we didn't get to see the best of him when he was here.
Owen Cairns decided he was going to test Brett Long as well. one of those where he's obviously trying to clear it, but he's trying to clear it over the bar or for a corner or whatever it was. But again, Brett being sharp, being on his toes, as Mark said, to tip it over again.
Yeah, we've said before that sometimes a keeper that maybe isn't called into action much, their concentration's got to be really good. And I think Brett's, it's quite easy to maybe switch off and you see Owen Cairns, you think he's got to deal with it, but he's got to be alert, he's got to be switched on, and thankfully he was, and he's managed to tip it over the bar.
And this is the point of the game for, I just felt, if we were watching it, that a goal was coming, unfortunately, and you just felt that everything was going that one way. We've had our chance, it seemed, for Ryan Duncan's shot off the post, but at that time you just felt that there was a goal coming, and if it was, it was going to be for Alloa.
Yeah, you sort of felt the pressure was starting to build. I felt it just became a little bit deeper as well. I think we're passing as well, just in that period of the game as well, just sort of we went a wee bit awry, I should say. And as you said, that there was a goal coming, and unfortunately you just almost seemed like we were powerless to stop it. It's unfortunate, but definitely thought there was a goal coming.
And if the goal did come, the more frustrating thing about it was, it wasn't a goal that came for good play, it was actually just a really poor corner, and we haven't dealt with it properly at the near post. And credit to Kevin Colley, who's sort of dug out a bit of space inside that box, crowded box, and fired it home. But from a defensive point of view, as I said, it's a really poor goal to give away because it was a poor corner near the near post, and it wasn't dealt with, and I'm sure that Jim and the guys, the defensive playing, will look up back and say we probably should have done better.
I think obviously as you mentioned, the corner's poor when I dealt with it, but also I think it was Ryan Duncan. He's just in front, he sort of jumps and turns his body when the player's sort of fake to go for a shot. Just felt if we'd maybe stood up, we'd have been able to deal with it a bit better. Once you turn your back, you're powerless to do anything. So obviously when I dealt with the initial ball, great, but I do think we'd have a second chance to deal with it, and we've sort of thrown it away as well.
And we almost get ourselves back into the game 3 minutes later. Ryan Duncan again heavily involved. He a great ball in for Richie on the right hand side, and he's picked out Duncan inside the 18 yard box, and he's going with the volley, and it's gone over. And again, it's that's the kind of chances that we really need to start to take.
Yeah, if we're going to try and push away for the relegation scrap and battle that we're now in, because I do think while we're getting that win, it's now two teams from three. Then you're going to have to start taking them sort of chances. We've been saying it all season, you need to take chances, but we're down to the business end of the season. You really need to start converting them.
With a little bit more experience, I think he maybe goes with his head, because it's an awkward height that he's volleyed it at, actually, because it's maybe sort of in between, sort of decent height, but he's actually dropped to volley it, whereas I think he just goes with his head. It's probably a better chance.
It'd have been a terrific goal if it had come off.
That's
for sure. But yeah, it's, as you said, he sort of had to jump for it. It's maybe one of them if he stooped with a header. Again, I'd be interested to see what he did in a couple of years' time if that sort of chance presented itself to him. But just unfortunate on this occasion that he's put it over.
And once again, we sort of the play is all going sort of one way. Henderson's hit the post. I think Brett Long's actually tipped it onto the post. And then King's probably had the best chance to kill off the game on the 80 minutes. And again, we spoke about last week and the week before about how easy sort of through balls through our defence seemed to be. Again, this one, just a little ball around the corner for King. I think Boyd again was involved, and the defence seemed to be all over the shop at that time, and that's concerning. You know, at that kind of stage of the game, it could have really, as I said, he could have really killed off the game had it not been again for Brett Long in goals.
I think the last 10 minutes of the game were, we sort of went a wee bit sixes and sevens at the back. I think I counted four times there was a ball over the top or a ball around the corner that caused us problems. And I can sort of understand you're sort of trying to get back in the game. You probably feel that it's a game on the balance of play that a draw might have been a fair result, and you're trying to chase it, but at the same time, if you leave yourself too open at the back, I don't mind so much the midfield trying to push forward, but I think you've got to keep it tight at the back, otherwise you know you're going to cause yourself problems. And to be fair, Alwa probably should have killed off the game with a couple of the chances at the head towards the end.
It was a bit of a painful save for Brett in goals. You know, as we say, you know, use every part of your body as you can, but I'm pretty sure he felt that one after. One other thing to speak about that game is the Andy McDonald sending off late on. It was late in the game. Again, it was a break for Alawa. There has been a lot of chat, particularly with Alawa fans, who feel it wasn't a sending off. And I think if you look back at the even Alawa's highlights package, it does look as though he's played the ball. The only thing maybe that might go against him is the fact that he's come from behind and it looks like a hefty tackle, but it certainly looks as though he's played the ball.
Yeah, I think he has played the ball. You sort of, when you look at that incident, is he in control the whole time of everything that he's doing? I don't know. I can understand why the referee sent him off. I think when you do that sort of challenge, you sort of open yourself up for a potential of a red card. Given that the stage of the game and the position of the challenge, slightly surprised, because I feel there is a defender just as well. I know it's not a red card for a last man challenge, but I've just, you know, taking into consideration, it's one of them. I don't think it's a red, but I think it's certainly stronger than a yellow.
If he was just to take the guy's shirt and just haul him down,
it's not a red. It'd have been a yellow card.
There's that kind of fine line of where what is a red card, what's near a red card. And as I said, I mean, if he was 10 yards further back and just yacked the guy back because he was chasing him on, you might have then said, well, that's nothing else.
I just think that the fact that he's maybe in control 100% of his own actions. Yeah. Because it's nail lunge, but just the way he's gone in, as you said, it looks slightly aggressive. I can just about understand why the referee has sent him off for it.
Well, Peter Hiddar's going to appeal it, so we should know midweek Wednesday if that's going to
be... Do you think it'll get overturned?
It's very difficult to see if any gets overturned.
I'm not so sure it will.
I think there's too much doubt in terms of... I mean, if he'd come from the side and played the ball, I think that might have been slightly different, but the fact that it's from behind, I think that's maybe where the appeal's going to fall down. I mean, personally, I don't think it is a red card, but I just think that the way the SFA work and the way the referees work, it probably won't. The appeal will get thrown out. I think that's just how it will be.
Are you saying you've no faith in the appeals process?
Absolutely, no faith in the SFA whatsoever.
Well, what I would say is I'd like to see the referee's position in it as well, because when you see the highlight package of it, you know, there does appear to be quite a... You know, the camera's got quite a large scope.
Yeah.
And there doesn't appear to be any sign the refereeing, you know, until a couple of seconds, which doesn't sound by much, but when you're running at full flow in the game, that is quite a, you know, it's quite a large gap that you could cover.
And again, the linesman or assistant referee is on that side as well, and he's put 10 yards away for it.
Yeah,
he could maybe get a bit of help from him as well, and that's again something we've covered in previous weeks as well. So it as I said, it ended 1-0. All of our 12 shots, 7 on target. Peter Hayden, 5 shots, just 2 on target. And those 2 obviously were in the first half. So apart from really the two chances for Ryan Duncan in the second half, we didn't really create too much. And I think, and what we'll come on to later on as well, but Jim had said, based on the second half performance alone, I think Alwa probably just edged it.
I think the chances that they created, yeah, but I also think it, again, we go back to that, probably feel like a broken record, but you know, if we'd a little bit of luck, especially with Ryan Duncan's shots, had we gotten a point, I think it might have just been over the 90 minutes, probably maybe a fair result.
I said Alan McCarthy was suspended and it was probably a mess. I think it probably was. His suspension was obviously meant that he was missing, and I think that midfield three of Savory, Hamish Ritchie and Scott Brown, three very good players, but you're lacking that one person who's going to be disciplined. I know Scott was probably that one, but we've seen it a few times, not just in Saturday, but in a few games where he is that one. It's expected to be that kind of holding player. He is still, you know, ahead of the play. I think it maybe just be Andy Ney being there, that the gaps in between the midfield and the defence were a bit more obvious. And I think why a player like Stephen Boyd, for example, got so much joy in Saturday.
Yeah, quite probably, actually. Yeah, we've said before that when you lose a player, Andy's quality in the middle of the park, you always feel the negative side of it. It's not, you know, criticism of the guys that are playing in the field just now, but I also feel from Scott's that slightly more restricted player, you lose a lot out of his game as well. I think his box to box and his engine is, you know, up there with one of the best in the league. So again, when I got Scott playing in front of Kai's natural role as a box to box and missing Andy in that role as well, you'll always feel the negative side of it.
East Fife and Dumbarton both lost 2-0 as well, which makes the result a little easier to take slightly, but again, it's an opportunity missed to open up that gap. And I think you said earlier on as well, it's going to be one from three to finish there, whereas it could have been, we could have just opened that gap and just near relaxed, obviously, because there's still a lot of games to go, but made things a little bit easier having gotten something out of that game while those two were losing.
Yeah, I think, you know, Hedwood won the game, obviously you get 3 points, you take three off Alloa. They might have just been looking over their shoulders, wondering, you know, would they be the team that maybe slips under the lid? I came that obviously the team's below us lost, but, you know, they'll certainly feel that they can catch Peter Head. Obviously it's only 2 points, if you're Dumbarton's point of view. And East Fife, as you said last week, they managed to cut the gap for the turn of the year to what was like 11, 12 points, now down to five. So, you know, they'll certainly feel that they can catch Peter Head, but you know, we're just now winning games, and obviously that comes back to what we said last week. You're looking at where do you find that win from, and I still think we need, you know, at least two to be safe.
I'm going to touch on some of Jim's comments and some of his quotes that he came up with after the game, because I think there's a slight shift in maybe his thinking now. As I said, he thought that based on the second half at the Alba deserved it, and they changed their system, or certainly the way they played second half, and I think that was evident. And I think that's maybe again where we're sort of lacking slightly, and instead of being sort of maybe being a bit proactive, or even in this case not being reactive enough to what was happening on the pitch, it's maybe been our downfall slightly in some of these games, where somebody like Brian Rice has sort of gone into half time and sort of, right, okay, it's a bit too even for my liking, I'm going to change a couple of things, try and get the win. A win that they were looking for, as you said, to get away from that relegation battle. Whereas maybe the mindset of, or maybe Jim himself, but maybe the mindset of is we're doing okay. We're not losing, so we'll just keep it going like that.
But I think that's a problem, that it's a mindset that we kind of get into. Again, there's only 6-7 games to go, but if you're in the mindset of we're doing okay, to me, it needs to be better. You need to say, like, we're doing okay, but we need to be better, because all that it takes is one win for Dumbarton and you're in big trouble. Like I said, I think we're in trouble now, but one win for them and you're in massive trouble. And just being okay sometimes isn't good enough. I mean, like I said at the start, Alloa weren't exactly firing all cylinders. If you come up against a team of better quality, and you're doing okay, yeah, that might be okay in the game, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if you're only taking, for argument's sake, say, 3 draws from your last games, that to me wouldn't be enough to keep you up.
He mentioned, and the quotes again, he says, we're on a downward spiral. It's all about scoring goals. Is this, it's a three-way dogfight as well, was one other thing he said. Is this maybe now an admission from him that we are in a bit of trouble? Something that we've been discussing for a few weeks, whereas last week, if you remember from his post-match, although we lost, he said we'd be fine. So, you know, this seems like there's a bit of an admission maybe from him. Obviously, maybe publicly, maybe it was an admission, but maybe privately, he'd maybe been saying to players, we are in a bit of trouble. But this is now a slight change in that actually we are in a bit of trouble here.
Yeah, I think there comes a point in time where there's only so many times you can say we've played well, but we've been unlucky and they got in the points. You kind of pull the wool of our fans' eyes. They see the performances, they see how it's going, they see the league table, and it's pretty evident that it's 2 teams out of 3, and, you know, I think all of us win against us on Saturdays just about got them safe. So I think it probably is the time now to say, look, we are in, there's a potential of being in big trouble, and that's not to say the players need to, you know, just up their levels, but it's, in my opinion, it's quite refreshing that he's come out and said it, because it could have been quite easy to say the same thing that we've heard the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, playing well but we're not getting the results, or things are not quite going our way. Performance was okay Saturday. Argument might have potentially been warrant a draw, but he's come out now and said we are in a three-way battle, it's downward spiral, and we're not scoring goals. These are the plain facts that have been staring us in the face since January. So there has got to become a time that he comes out and says, well, you know, the fans can see it, everybody in the club can see it. It's how they go about, you know, rectifying it.
I mean, there's a real prospect by 5 o'clock on Saturday there could be 2 points between the bottom three.
Yeah.
If things go against us, and he's right, it's doing the battle between the final three. But I just find it was interesting that he's sort of chosen now to almost, as I said, make that admission that we're in a bit of trouble, whereas, again, I've mentioned before that I think we try and cover the vast majority of fans' views, whether it's positive, whether it's negative, but a lot of folk have been saying for a few weeks that we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We've maybe said it, but not been directly saying we are in trouble. and you actually mentioned that after we were speaking about the game on Saturday, there's a bit of apathy amongst the fans as well. And I think that's been the case for maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think, you know, once apathy sort of sets in with fans, it's difficult, because once you stop caring, that's when I think you've got a real problem. And I've noticed it the last probably month or so. There's been a lot more folk vocal, and rightly so, because you kind of just brush us under the carpet. We are in danger. I think deep down, Jim was maybe hoping that had we beaten Alloa on Saturday, it just drags him back and maybe eases the concerns that we've got just ever so slightly. And I think the timing, yeah, maybe slightly surprising, but at the same time, it's pretty clear now to me that it's 2 teams from 3 that's going to be in that trouble. And it's maybe just something that's come out in the press, and it's a bit of a warning to the players, look, we've got 6, 7 games to try and save our season.
And you mentioned there about the fans being a bit more vocal. I think that comes from frustration more than anything else. I think for me, I think it's a frustration because I think the players are, I can play better than fit they are. If you, and I'm not necessarily saying that they're world class players, but what I'm saying, and Jim will say that they've probably played good in spells, that is in spells, whereas I think that these players are capable of putting in full 90 minute performances and being, and to be honest, some of the teams that we've been coming up against haven't been any much better than we've been, but it's just the frustration of that you just didn't seem to be seeing that performances for full games.
Yeah, I think My biggest concern is it sometimes takes us to be one or two goals down before we start playing. You know, whether you need to put the players out with the mindset of that you're 2-0 down already before we really get into that, I sometimes think there's also a fear of they want to lose a game rather than trying to win the game. I would rather, hey, one win, two defeats rather than three draws is where it's at. It's still 3 points, but the confidence you get for a win can potentially spur you on for another game. At the moment, it just seems like I've said it a couple of weeks ago, we're sort of sleepwalking at trouble. We are now in trouble, and it's just a case of it's 2 from 3, like I said. It's basically who's going to come out on top.
Goals, as you said, is a big part of it. We've only scored 37 over 30 league games. Only Clyde in 36 and East Fife have scored less, and they've only got 28. So that's a big part of where we're at. As well as obviously conceding at the other end as well.
But I don't think we create enough good chances. And it's okay having good players on the team, but I generally don't think the formation at times is suit the players that have been on the park. I think Russell McLean is a good finisher, but I'm not convinced that he is a striker that can play on his own. I think he's a tall target man, but at the start of the season, when we were winning games, Naya Payne and Russell McLean linked up really well. Then we had a slight change. You know, Russell will go through periods of scoring 2-3 in a row, and then it'll be nothing for 7-8 games. You need that to be more consistent, but I don't know, I think at times he's been helped by the formation that's been selected.
Well, he's got 11 from his 29, which gives him a goal every 2.5 games. And if you look at the rest, Scott Brown's on 6 from his 28, Hamish Richards on 5 from his 26. But interestingly enough, he scored 3 in his last 5.
Yeah,
so he's kind of going against the grain of everybody else, where he seems to just maybe found that a bit of form. But really, in terms of goals, we really have kind of they have dried up considerably.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think the formation at times has suited the players that we've got. I think we've said that a couple of weeks back. Maybe our change of system. I think the predicament that we're in, that there needs to be a game that you just say sod it and go for it, rather than try to worry about Nate getting beat. Try and go out and win the game. That's not to say that Jim puts the team out need to win, because I don't believe that for 1 second that would be the case. But just sometimes I think we're too passive. It's our square balls, it's our balls come backward. Take a bull by the horn and go out and try and win the game.
Okay, so before we move on to this Saturday's game, there was a bit of news broke for Ryan Duncan. Ryan Duncan has been called up to the Scotland under-19s for their upcoming matches. Obviously good news for him. His performances, I think, have warranted it as well.
Yeah, I think he has been a player that's done really well through a difficult season. He's warranted the call-up, and you know, obviously he was out the squad a couple of weeks ago with COVID, so I think it's a personal delight for him that he's managed to come through and he's getting a call-up to the under-19s.
Yeah, it's a call-up that it probably would have happened had he not been injured at the start of the season, and everybody have got a lot of high hopes for him as well, so this just obviously just caps that one off for him as well.
Yeah, I think it's good for Peterhead as well. They've got a player, albeit on loan, but they obviously they're doing something right with his development. As you said, Aberdeen have got high hopes. I think that the plan was in January that he would go back. Had he not got an injury, it was under Stephen Glass, so things have changed at Aberdeen as well, but I'm sure he's got a bright future.
The bad news on that is that he does miss Saturday's game, because Saturday is the game that they're playing, so unfortunately for us, as I said, it's good news for him, but the bad news is that we're going to miss a player who is probably going to be a key for us in this final 6 games.
Yeah, I think we're attacking players. When I really scored much goals this season, but your attacking players are going to be crucial in this final few games. It might be the time that, you know, obviously Ryan they playing for Scotland, that we might have a slight formation change against Falkirk, who aren't really in any sort of form really, the form that they're on their last couple of games. So It's disappointing we've lost Ryan, but you know, it's a time for somebody to come in and make a claim for the last couple of games and almost be that hero and try and get a win.
Yeah, so we wish him well on his travels with Scotland. As you said, Falkirk, we're not really sure what to make of them at the minute. Their last six, they've got two draws, two wins, and two losses, so it's a mixed bag. It's a very mixed bag, as I said, but their two wins have been against East Fife and Dumbarton, which obviously was helpful to us. Their two draws were against Clyde and Peterhead, and they've lost against the Cove and Airdrie. So they're probably I don't think that's a reflection maybe on their season or where they would be. They're beating teams you would expect them to beat. They're drawing against teams that they probably would have felt they probably should be beating as well, but they've been beaten by teams that maybe at the start of the season they would have been competing against.
Yeah, if somebody said to me, pick a team that had beaten the bottom two, drawn with the middle teams and lost to the top team, Falkirk would be the team that you'd pick, isn't it? The season that they've had as well,
yeah,
on and off the park. Yeah, it's a mixed bag. You're never quite sure if you're going to get against Falkirk, but the same could be said for us. Our performances, sometimes you can put in a really good performance and you know sometimes you put in a really poor one. But again, we've said numerous times now, you've got to use your home form and try and get something. And you know, there are going to be many bigger games this season than trying to get something against Falkirk, because you know they're not exactly sitting ahead of the light. I came wearing the either, but you know, we're the home side, you've got to try and make it count.
We've beaten them this season, two draws, one defeat, 0-0 up here in October, and then the last one was the 1-1 draw just a weeks ago now as well. So,
we should have won that game.
We really, Ryan Duncan, sorry, Hamish Ritchie had a chance right at the end. Yeah, so again, it's opportunities like that, you know, that extra 2 points in that game might have, you know, pushed us up. A little bit, obviously, would have pushed us a little bit further forward. But it's I really don't care what to make of this game, because, as I said, I'm not going to make a Falkirk, you know, or what Falkirk will turn up in this game. That's the thing. I think I'm pretty confident in how we're going to play, but it's just how the opposition plays, I think.
Yeah, as you said at the start there, they're a mixed bag. You're never quite sure what you're going to get with them. But again, this is far. We need to start with authority in the game and go early doors. And you know, we say often enough about not conceding early on, but you know, you play these bigger teams within the league, try and get an early goal against them, put them right under the cosh. I don't think they've got overly much to play for. Maybe a slim hope of getting the playoffs, but you know, based on that form, you wouldn't really think it. You know, we've got to go and stamp with authority in the game.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's a game that both sides will feel as though they need to win. Obviously, we need to try and win it to get a way for the two sides below us. But Falkirk still will harbour chances of getting into the top four and getting a playoff place and get ahead of Queen's Park. If they are to make that spot, they will have to start winning these kind of games. So it could be quite an open, entertaining game.
Well, I think you said last week that the advantage of the league that we're in is everybody can beat everybody, and there's going to be so much to play for in the last couple of games that you know, everybody's looking at it from their own point of view, and they've all got something to play for. So it might work out in our favour that they're not going to sit, you know, they're not going to come up here and sit back and, you know, try and go for a draw. They're going to come up here potentially try and win the game. It might leave gaps that we can exploit. You know, if we can get the right formation, the right team in the park, you know, you get the luck, it could be our day.
And again, we'll keep an eye on what's happening elsewhere. Dumbarton and East Fife are both at home as well. Dumbarton are home to Montrose, East Fife at home to Alloa. So East Fife, much like Alloa, going into that game much like they did last Saturday, they'll be against a team below them. They'll feel as though that if they can win that game, you know, that just pretty much guarantees them League One football again next season. Whereas if East Fife come away with a win there, maybe Alloa might just, as you said, might just get sucked back into it as well.
Yeah, and certainly these five games, certainly one I'll have one eye on Saturday. I think that could be massive. Like you said, I think Alloa's just about there with the win over us on Saturday, but again, beating East Fife, I'd almost guarantee it. But on the flip side, East Fife, as you mentioned a couple of times, they've just been chipping away at points at the bottom. You know, and they'll feel if they can get a win, they'll put themselves in a fantastic position to avoid relegation. Who you know, when Stevie came in December, you wouldn't have really harboured much hopes of them than Dean it. But, you know, give them credit, they've got themselves in this situation now that they could, and they'll be hoping to get the 3 points on Saturday.
Dumbarton on a run that's actually worse than the Oilers there. They've got 5 defeats now in a row. We're obviously on 4, so Montrose going there, you would expect Montrose to win, although again they've maybe just hit a sticky patch slightly as well. You know, they probably maybe a month or so ago felt there was an outside chance of winning the league, but they've got 2 draws, 2 wins and 2 defeats in their last 6 as well, so much like Falkirk, you really care if it's going to happen there. But I think you said last week as well, okay, keep an eye on what's happening there, but first and foremost, get the result that we need on the park first.
Absolutely. I would love to come out at 10-5 and Peterhead won the game, and then we'll look at other results rather than, you know, checking the scores at 4:30 thinking, you know, we really need a goal for Alouad to help us out, or a goal for Montrose. I don't think we're just quite in that situation yet, but if you didn't pick up wins, you know, very sharp. I mean, I can't, that sounds daft, I'm sat here, there's only a couple of games left of the season to go, but you know, it's a situation where we need wins. If you're only beating Dumbarton in the league since October, then you know you are going to struggle.
Yeah, and we'll probably go into how crucial the Dumbarton East Fife games will be next week, but you know, those are shaping up to be the key games in this final 6.
It's 6-pointers, is it? It's a proverbial 6-pointer. You know, when if you beat East Fife and you beat Dumbarton, I think you're safe. On the flip side, if you lose it, you're in massive trouble. But there's a big game against Falkirk, first of all.
Yep, so on that note then, we will finish it there. We do hope you've enjoyed it this week as ever. My thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week, so until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Paul Byers, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.